Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine. In the studio with me today, I have Scott Englund from Northside and Center Street School. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm great, Tom. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Did you have a wonderful Christmas?
I did. So, I mean, it wasn't in winter. I don't know when we moved Christmas outside of winter, but it was nice. I took a motorcycle ride on December 23rd.
Cool.
So I never would have thought that I would have had it back out in December, but
right.
A beautiful day for a ride.
Okay. All right. And so what is going on at Northside and Center Street Schools that we need to talk about?
Well, we're back full swing, ready to hit second semester running. We've got tech, we've got sports. I mean, and I know that we're just in January here, but we're already talking about things for next year.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's crazy. We just keep moving.
It never stops. The educating of children never stops.
And that's the beauty of it all.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about all those plans and more here on the Community Connection with Scott Englund in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
Here's what happens when you get wiser. Your life gets better because you quit doing stupid stuff. I have figured out the less stupid stuff I have, the better life I have. You know, that's fairly simple, isn't it? You kind of get back what you put out. You reap what you sow. If you plant corn, corn grows. If you plant stupid, you grow broken, desperate. You know, you're going to get a crop of something in your life. What's your crop going to look like? Dave Ramsey here. We talk common sense for your dollars and cents. Weekdays at 4 on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Scott Englund, the superintendent of District 112. That's Fairfield, Center Street, and Northside Schools. And so the bad weather hasn't hit yet.
Except for November 12th, we took our snow day.
Oh, okay.
But that was a weird day. But no, I mean, I keep looking. You know, we'll have a hint of snow or the temperature's going to be dropping. I think they said, tomorrow maybe it's going to drop. But I haven't seen anything, but
okay.
We'll see.
All right.
we lucked out last year. Every time we had a big snow or anything like that, it was always on the weekend.
Right.
So I loved it. My kids did not. But, hey, you know what? It's a whole lot easier if we let it snow on Friday and
right.
Saturday and let it all clear up.
Okay. All right. Do you still have the telephone program where the parents sign up and they can get a text alert?
Yeah, we have the Global Connect that parents are in, and it can go out by school or the whole district, or even, I mean, they can pretty much any way they want, they can send it out. So, yep, we do have that. And then, of course, WFIW, we report in on that. And the TV station down south, WSIL,
okay.
we'll report in there. And then we utilize our Facebook pages as well to get the message out. So, I mean, yeah, there's really, no matter what your mode of, you know, delivery is, we'll get the word to you.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, it's one of those things that we don't want to be dangerous, but boy, those snow
safety
days
first.
Are the safety first. And we do put safety first, and all of the superintendents in Wayne County, you know, we communicate,
mm-hmm.
we go out, we drive different regions and see what's going on, and if it's not safe, we're not going.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the classroom.
Yeah.
You got new tech in the classroom?
Yeah, whenever I was here a month ago, I said that we would hopefully be adding our one-to-one Chromebook initiative down to second and first grade, because we've been third through eighth for a while, and some additional money became available that you had to spend kind of in that area of tech and curriculum, and so we have expanded our one-to-one Chromebooks to first and second grade. And now I say that we have done it, and the Chromebooks have been delivered. They're not in the classroom yet, so don't run home and ask your first and second grader what they're doing on the Chromebooks, because they may not be in there, because it takes a little bit to set up 150 new computers.
Okay.
And I would say out of those 150, 100 of them are still in my office, boxed up. But they get, you know, we were able to put some in service every day, but then we have to fill the cart and get it all set up. So slowly but surely, we are getting those rolled out into first grade.
And those those kids don't get to take those
Chromebooks
home. They stay in the...
They'll stay in the classroom. So each... we've got three first grade sections and three second and third grade. So those go in a cart, a Chromebook cart. They can plug in there. Then you plug the whole cart in. It charges them all that's in there.
Okay.
And they'll stay there. But each classroom will have their own.
Okay.
So
hopefully in the next few months, they'll all get into classroom.
Yeah. They'll definitely be in by, I would say, the end of this month.
Okay.
It's just, it takes a lot to get them all set up. Because, of course, you know, nothing is just out of the package, you know, rip raring to go. There's updates and everything. But they'll get into the classroom. And then, you know, for the first grade, second grade classrooms, they've been going to, we still have one stationary computer lab. Okay. At Northside that they've been going to. So, I mean, familiarity of what a computer looks like and, you know, the rudimentary of being able to log in, they've got that, but now it's going to change on a little different level. So they're going to have to be working with learning how to log on, learning about the features and, you know, how to look up the information that they're looking for, the website that they're looking for.
Right.
It's all going to be, you know, heavily monitored by and oversaw by the teachers, but it's you know,
and the network is sort of confined.
Yes, it
there
is.
There are limitations.
There is definitely limitations, and you know, again, you run that line on where you know, where the network and the limitations are. But for the students, we can change it different than the parents, and it's one of those. It's always moving.
Okay.
You know, so we set it and it's secure and it's safe. And then we see, you know, some new website's popped up or some new thing is popped. It's always changing.
A new app.
The beauty and the curse of technology. And so, but, at that age with Northside, it's really locked down, and secure. So second grade as well, they'll be going through similar things that first grade will go. They have a little bit, you know, they've been at this a little longer, a whole year,
right?
More, but now again, they've got the Chromebooks, and so figuring it out.
Or they're going to get them soon.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, what is the advantage for the teacher of having the Chromebook in the classroom?
Well, for one, whenever they do their benchmark testing or they can do progress monitoring, now they can do that right in the classroom. They can, you know, and they can oversee the way they have it set up. They can, you know, it's tailored to their room. And so much more beneficial there. If they begin typing, you know, if they want to be able to do, you know, my daughter's in third grade and, you know, she utilizes the tools that come with Google for Education, because we're a Google for Education school, and being able to, you know, collaborate with the teacher and get that feedback right away, you can start that as easy as, you know, well, they've done it at third grade, and you can easily do it at second and first grade.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, my daughter knows how to do the basics of research. I mean, you know, and learning how to wean out. But let's say, I wish I could remember what exactly... I think it was penguins. I subbed in a third grade classroom in December for a little bit, and they were doing like a research project on penguins, and I think the different types,
right?
You know, I mean, not just black and white. There's all kinds of yes, all of those, and so one of the things that they can utilize with the Chromebook is they can get their information from, say, the book they're reading or from the curriculum series, but then they can go out and onto, you know, using their Chromebook to find pictures or to, you know, to find a second source of information that can, you know, just make it a little more robust. And that's where we start.
All right. We are talking to Scott England from Fairfield's Center Street Northside Schools, District 112, and we will be back in just a moment.
This is where some people try to hit capitalism, and they try to say capitalism removes this social welfare net. That's not capitalism that is responsible for it. It's selfishness. That's the problem. I think that when you are blessed through that, you bless other people, because that's what I think you're supposed to do. The reason that we are in the position that we are is because people don't do that. This is not something that you can mandate through the government. Tune in to The Dana Show, 7 to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on WFIW AM 1390 and FM 103.3.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Scott England from District 112. That's Center Street Northside Schools. So, and you've got more than just the Chromebooks that you're
we do.
Working with.
So who likes Legos? I mean,
me.
I do too. And you know who would have thought back? You know, my goodness. Well, I won't tell my age, but it was a long time ago, nearly three decades ago.
Right.
Nearly four decades ago, if we're going to be honest. That you know,
I still got your beat.
We would be out. I'd get Legos for Christmas, or, you know, I would go and have the opportunity to get like a little box of Legos. I mean, back then they were probably like $2 or $3 of the little boat you could put together, the little
right.
plane you could put together. And, you know, if I was lucky and got that, I would get it. I'd take it home and I'd build it. And, you know, I would run it through the house and then I'd take it apart and it would never be a boat. It would never be a plane again. It would be something else.
Right.
And, you know, who knew the educational value? I mean, I would like to say my parents knew that, but it wasn't. It was to keep little Scott quiet, I'm sure.
Right.
But, you know, over time, we've begun to see, like, there is a huge educational value to Legos. And, you know, for quite some time, we would look at Legos in the classroom as, oh, they're playing and they're disguising it as education. And, you know, that definitely wasn't it. And I think Lego Education realized that. So they came out with exactly what I said, Lego Education.
Okay.
And it's more than the building. So we talk a lot about STEM, or, you know, I take it back, STEAM. I have a sister who is an art teacher, 20
okay.
plus years. The A in STEAM is art.
Art. Okay.
And I would be remiss if I would just call it STEM. But science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Okay.
STEAM will throw in the arts. But
okay.
anyway, you know, that's really what we were looking at for Lego. And Lego decided, well, we want to promote this for education. We want educators to see that it's beyond the building. It's beyond just the math side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're talking, do I have a, you know, a piece that's four little dots long, or, you know, what do I need? Fractions, if we will.
Right.
And they've expanded it down to cover reading and to cover writing. So, for example, the reading, you know, they'll build predictions and the events in a story, or they'll use their Legos to retell the main events from a story, or identify details, or even make predictions on a few other ideas. The other thing Lego Education does is that it promotes writing, and they do that with, like, they're given a writing prompt,
mm-hmm.
and then students are able to first build their stories before they're writing, and so then that gives them the ability to visualize on what they're going to write. So essentially you see the words come out of what you have built, and then you can put it down, you know, and this allows them to have more details, and it allows the students to brainstorm their ideas in a creative way. So I taught first grade, and one of the things, I mean, we did, writing was a huge focus.
Okay.
And it still is, and it should be all throughout. I mean, I'm talking kindergarten through high school. We need to be writing, because that's the one thing, as you see when you get older, I mean, you're still going to write, and it may not be long dissertations or novels or anything else, but writing's still a crucial component, especially being able to communicate what you're wanting to say in words.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a first grade teacher, we had these journals, and I would give my students a prompt. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, our goal was like, give me one sentence and a picture. Give me, you know, and we would build up to where students were writing pages, and there would be pictures to go with it. But if we started and we instead said, you know, let's talk about a snow day, since we were talking about snow earlier,
okay.
and let's write a picture, or let's draw a picture first. And then, you know, it's amazing, like, you watch 25 first graders, when you say, let's write about a snow day, they all just kind of look at you like,
okay.
What? I want to have fun. Some can go right into it. But when you say, let's draw what a snow day means to you, I mean, instantly, heads down, Crayola's out, we're off to the races. And then you say, hey, let's write about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lot easier, because now they've spent all that time constructing it through their picture and everything. Well, that's what Lego Education is doing. It's taken one more step in being able to look and construct a story and then write from it. So, and I don't want to undercut the others. So, you know, art for steam, you know, all about the colors we use, or you know, the aesthetics of the piece. The engineering aspect is the simple building, you know, and how we're going to build up. I've turned planes and boats into some pretty creative things, in my opinion, you know. And then, of course, the mathematics, we mentioned fractions, but they can use the Legos to do, you know, the word problems and addition, subtraction, even, you know, geometry concepts.
Right.
And so we're all starting that, I mean, remember, at Northside. And so we're talking kindergarten through third grade.
So kindergarten through third grade will get Lego education.
Yeah, they'll have the ability to do Lego education. So the neat thing about it is it does not add yet another curricular requirement onto us. What we do is we integrate this with our current curriculum.
It enhances your current curriculum.
It does. And it strengthens and gives our teachers and our students one more way to, you know, to dive deeper into this curriculum. So at Northside, K through 2, for let's say their English language arts, they are under the curriculum Super Kids because it's phonics-based, and we want to hit that letter sound, letter recognition, you know, heavy and early. When they get over to third grade, Benchmark Advanced, that's our curriculum for third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And so no matter if it's Super Kids K-2 or the Benchmark Advance for third grade, we're able to incorporate the Lego education into the stories that they are doing. So it's just one more, it's not replacing, it's not supplanting, but it's just it's a supplement.
Okay. All right. It's Lego education at Northside School. We're going to turn our attention to Center Street here in the next segment with Scott Englund from District 112. Listen weekdays after the 7:50 news for Community Connection on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM, your news talk connection. Each day, we'll be talking to people about community events, community leaders, and on Wednesdays, it's Meet Your Neighbor. If you have an event you'd like to talk about, give me a call at 842-2159. Community Connection, weekdays after the 7:50 news on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM, and now online at WFIWradio.com. We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Scott Englund, the superintendent of District 112, Northside and Center Street Schools. So we've talked about Northside.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Center Street. So the eighth graders are in final months.
So I'll hold it together okay. But I have an eighth grader. And so imagine my surprise. We're back in January. And I think, okay, I've still got myself some time here, right?
Right.
January 30th, not too far away. I mean, we're a little over halfway at this point. Mm-hmm. Eighth grade, well, that's not eighth grade orientation. It's freshman orientation.
Freshman orientation.
For the eighth graders. And, you know, kind of the first thing, it's done during the day. And a representative from FCHS will come over and meet with the eighth graders. And, you know, they're not going to plan their schedules and finalize anything, but it's that first thing, like, hey, you're 3 months away from stepping out of District 112 and over to District 225. You know, but it's hard to believe. Here we are, we're talking about that. And, you know, later this month, or possibly next month, depending on, you know, sometimes we wait for snow days, we're going to be setting graduation and getting that set. Sometimes we like to wait to see if we're going to get any more whether it's just, I mean, flip a coin, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. My crystal ball seems to be broken. But we'll do that. And it's just, you know, we'll be setting the calendar.
Right.
So, and we're talking setting the calendar for next school year. So we don't want to say goodbye to this one. We're doing some exciting things and got a lot of things still going on. But it's a juggle right now.
All right. So you don't yet know when graduation day is going to be, but
it'll be in May. It'll be in May.
That's your closest guess.
That's the closest that I can give until we really look at it.
Okay. All right. What about sports at Center
Street? Yeah. So we're still what I like to call in the thick of it. You know, that's really at the end of October through this. I mean, it's all the time. So tonight's actually a busy night. We have Move to the 16th. We have the boys playing tonight. We have the girls, the regional opener is tonight.
Basketball.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We're talking basketball. So the girls just had their final home game on this past Tuesday, the 14th. And so then they play number 3 Nashville tonight at 7:15. And we are ranked number 2. So that's going to be a tough one. And hopefully we come out on top, because then we will play in the championship on the 18th at 1 o'clock. And that will either be Rome or Wayne City, depending on the outcome. Rome is ranked number 1, Wayne City number 4. And so depending on the outcome of that game, which is played tonight before ours, will be who we play in the championship if we beat Nashville. So also opening up their season tonight is boys basketball, 5th and 6th grade.
Oh, okay.
So we start that as well. And so the regular season for the boys basketball, 7th and 8th grade, they still have 5 games, regular season games left. And they go regular season through January.
Okay.
And then they'll start playoffs right in the beginning of February.
All right.
The girls, the reason they're doing their regionals now is because on February 6th, which is Thursday, I do believe, is the kickoff of volleyball.
Oh, okay.
We move right into that. So there for a while, 5th and 6th grade, girls basketball, volleyball, 5th and 6th grade, boys basketball, and 7th and 8th grade basketball will all be playing in there in the mix. So when I say we're in the thick of it, we're really in the thick of it. But the 5th and 6th grade, they get underway. The girls, 5th and 6th grade, start on January 22nd is their first game. And the 5th and 6th grade season moves pretty quick. They're generally over by the end of February.
Okay.
So maybe spill over into March for some tournaments. But it's a month on, and they hit it pretty hard, and then they're done.
Okay. And then it's on to track and field, right?
Yep. We'll finish up with track. You know, we just went through a crazy rain last weekend, so maybe that got it out, so we don't have very many track meets canceled. We lucked out. I'm not sure if we had any postponed last year, it was one, but the year before, I want to say like our first 3 or 4 meets were canceled, and that just doesn't leave a lot left. So hopefully the rain stays away and we'll be in track, and by that time, when we're talking track, then we're talking, we'll know graduation by then. If it's not set by then, we got problems.
That's right. Okay. Also, you got a fundraiser coming up.
You know, we do. At the Northside PTO has decided that, so it would have been 2 years ago, would have been the final Northside PTO Spring Carnival.
Okay.
They usually did that in the spring, but it had waning interest and lack of volunteers, and we felt that we weren't capturing enough students that it was meant to benefit for. So we kind of restructured, added it into the field day that they have at the end of the year, and that way all kids have the opportunity to participate in the inflatables or the games. And but that has left a void. And so the Northside PTO, head up by President Stevie Ukina, wanted to do a 5K and a fun run, which explained that one to me. No, I'm kidding to all my runners out there.
You run as silly as you can.
But the 5K, they're looking at April, and we already have one community sponsor that has committed to sponsoring, and I know that they are seeking other sponsors for the Northside PTO first annual 5K. I'm sure I have more information if they want to reach out to me or to Mrs. Gardner, Christina Gardner at Northside. But I think it's going to be a fun thing. We'll have the t-shirts, and we're looking at keeping a similar route that people are used to around here.
Okay.
But maybe adjusting start and finish to be at Northside, because it is a Northside deal. So,
okay.
But yeah, that's More details coming, but if anybody's interested in being a community partner in this, whether that be a sponsorship or help volunteering for the course, reach out. We would love to have you, because we want to. That's one of our big things we talk about a lot, especially since this is called Community Connection. We like to see our community partner with our school, because together that's how we really strengthen what we do.
Okay. All right. It's sometime in April.
I believe it is the Saturday after Easter.
Okay.
And I want to say that is the 25th and 26th. No, 25th. Yep.
Okay.
That's the Saturday. Well, it's two Saturdays after Easter.
Okay.
So, but I tell you what, I won't get everybody confused. I'll come back. I'll have a firm date, and we'll do it then.
We'll talk about it again.
Maybe we can get Jeff Bond to talk about it.
Oh, there you go. All right. We've been talking to Scott England, the superintendent at Northside and Center Street Schools. Scott, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And that's going to do it for today.